Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's now time for Jeffrey Wright to make us some money this weekend. He's already made us some money, by the way. And Jeffrey, I'm also going to ask you, before we get to the college, can we get a pick on the MUS game tonight?
True, you have to know the rules. Calling the game. I'm like Herb Street.
Oh, that's right.
Calling the game.
That's right. Can't pick an MUS game. Calling the game.
I know little to nothing other than the names that I've been given for North Point. I do not know much about the program other than it used to be SBEC.
I'm also going to put a call out there right now. I'm going to the Collierville High School football game tonight. I said this yesterday on Jason and John. They're playing Oxford High School. I have to admit, I'm a Collierville resident, but I don't know anything about their high school football team. I want to write a great story. I want to give some good preps coverage. If somebody's listening that has information about this, that knows a great story about this Collierville high school football team, please reach out to me. I would love it. I'm really excited. It's going to be my first high school football game in, like, I don't know, 6 years since I've been to Memphis. So I'm pumped to be out there tonight, but I want to hear from the Collierville folks.
So North Point lost last week to USJ 35-7. I would say the Owls are probably 17-point favorites. That'd be my guess.
Nice. I'm taking MUS.
I'm not setting a lot of high school lines.
I'm taking MUS.
Well, I mean, there's always the question Owls. Of the hangover of after a massive win on the last play of the game.
Yeah. Well, it was a fun one. Frank was obviously there. I got to cover a great game. Hopefully I get to cover a great game. We have amazing preps reporters in this city. John Varlis does such an awesome job for the Daily Memphian. And so I really appreciate prep sports. I know that's how a lot of people get their start. And so I wanted to give a shout out to the high school football teams around the city playing tonight. All right, Jeffrey, what do we got this week? Wait, can we get an update? What are we?
So we are, after last night's 4-1 performance, which of course included a money line parlay, we are 5-2 on the season, and we are currently up 3.15 units.
Very nice. May I ask how last season finished?
Last season,
we don't talk about last season.
Yeah, let me see if you can give me two.
We're on to the new season.
Last season ended up at, like, I don't know. I think I was, like, down like 5 units. Let's see.
That's
totals.
Survivable.
Yeah, I went 67-76 last season.
Okay, so Jeff isn't here to hand you the crisp $100 bills. How much does he give you?
He gives me $1,000.
$1,000.
Sure.
He definitely actually
yeah,
gives
totally
you.
Yeah, totally does it every
for
single
sure
year. His
he
crisp
gives
$100
you.
Bills, yes, of course.
I'm going to give you one crisp $100 mm-hmm. bill because I'm here for 1 week.
Yep.
Let's see what you
well,
can do.
Well, we bet on credit here. This is how we roll. All right, let's start with tonight. So the theme has been, how are we getting back last year from last year? Last two seasons, we've had losing. For the first time in the history of the Vision Fund, we've had losing seasons. So we're trying to figure out, how do we get back? And, Drew, the way we get back is, rather than spraying the board, let's bet what we know. Here's one thing I know about Jonathan Smith. The man always knows the number, and if the man can cover, he will. Michigan State really needs to have a good season this year. They did a lot more work with the lines of scrimmage. I think they're going to be closer to what they actually want to be. I also think the MAC really, really struggles, and I know they had a good performance last night in covering. I don't know if that can last. Michigan State, let's lay the 21 against Central Michigan tonight.
Michigan State, let's go Sparty. Okay, what do we got?
I don't know how this makes you feel, but this is kind of my working theory. A well-funded SEC roster is going to beat a well-funded Big 12 roster. Last year, SEC favorites in week one, 12-2 against the spread. I am very concerned that this is the squarest of square plays. I can also call this an emotional hedge. Give me Auburn -2 tonight. I just think they're going to be better.
I agree. I think Auburn will be better. Jackson Arnold...
I don't think Jackson
better.
Arnold stinks.
He finished better than he played. He did stink at the beginning of last season. He was terrible.
I think Oklahoma stunk.
He was not very good. I don't think he's that bad.
They did not block anyone.
Unfortunately, I think Oklahoma's win over Alabama really kickstarted something. I think Oklahoma has a chance to be one of the sneaky teams in the league this year. And so Oklahoma scares me on Alabama's schedule later on. I've now switched to Oklahoma. We're talking about Jackson Arnold.
Who's now at Auburn?
Jackson Arnold, now at Auburn. I don't know.
A couple of football thoughts on this. Number one, whenever Hughes starts talking like an actual like crazy person of who's calling the plays, I might play all three quarterbacks. I covered this when he had Chad Kelly, and he was trying to lie to us and tell us that Devontae Kincaid and Ryan Buchanan were very much part of it, and all three would play. We saw like one scrimmage, and Chad Kelly threw like a 75-yard bomb that landed right in Quincy Adebojo's hands. I was like, that's their quarterback. When he starts doing all this kind of crazy stuff, it means he thinks they're pretty good. When he does all the performative stuff, and he's been doing a lot of that offseason. Also, Sawyer Robertson, when he's blitzed, his numbers go way down.
You think Baylor wins the Big 12? They're a trendy pick in the Big 12 this year.
I don't know how you can feel any like confident one way or the other about anyone in the Big 12. Like,
you have a lot of down teams as well.
Yeah, like Texas Tech, it's a question of like, what are you paying for if you're not going to win the Big 12? Like, I think if you made me pick, that's where I would go. So I'm going to lay the two with Auburn. Drew, this is the buy low point for me. Last week, UNLV could not have looked absolutely worse than they did. However, Dan Mullen's kind of good for a week one. What are they doing like in the lab? I just think this is a buy low point. Sam Houston State is very, very trendy right now. They do not have a home stadium right now as they are getting they're renovating their stadium to try and get it up to D1 standards. I've got UNLV laying 9.5. I think it's a good spot for them.
If you believe in your boy, Dan.
And I do.
I think it's a good pick. My concern is that the defense looked so atrocious last week that Sam Houston, again, they couldn't stop Western Kentucky. So that you can't feel too bad about the game. But I think Sam Houston's going to be able to move the ball.
A Phil Longo
offense
is...
You just need a score fest. You need points, baby.
A Phil Longo offense is just the antidote that a bad defense needs. Let's go to Saturday's action. Drew, we're going to start in the city of Atlanta. And this was a couple of notes on this game. Josh Heupel is 13-3 against the spread in non-conference regular season games. Meanwhile, Syracuse will be replacing not only the nation's leading passer, the ACC's receptions leader, 1,000-yard rusher, and 1,000-yard receiver. I do not trust that Syracuse just replenishes. This is also a fade the ACC. I'll lay the 13.5 with Tennessee.
I don't know what Tennessee is going to look like come the thick of the SEC schedule. But
that's not what we're betting.
If you can get this under 14 points, this is a no-brainer. You look at the brands, and it'll tell you Tennessee will win by two touchdowns.
Which team
do you go Vols?
What do you think the difference in the roster value is?
Absurd.
I'm going to guess probably $10 million. Drew, these are two games that I view similarly. One will be near and dear to your heart. I want to be very clear. Do I think Kentucky's going to have some type of bounce back? They're going back to a bowl. They're going to get everything back on the tracks. No, I think the league's really tough. I also don't think Kentucky's nearly as bad as everyone thinks. And furthermore, when we get our boy Mark Stoops and he's in non-conference play, he's an absolute machine. 16-4 against the spread in non-conference games. I think everybody's just thinking Toledo's something way different than they are. I'm going to lay 9.5 with Kentucky.
Here's the fear.
Zach Calzada.
I've watched that, and also that I've watched Kentucky play with their food in the first half quite a bit in a lot of these games, and they usually pull away late. I don't know if they have the offensive firepower. We saw Dane Key last night. Dane Key was obviously one of Kentucky's best receivers last year, playing for Nebraska now. Barron Brown is, I think, at LSU.
Barron's at LSU, yes.
At LSU, so they've lost their weapons. Liam Cohen is long gone from Kentucky. Those teams that could put up a bunch of points, not there anymore. If Toledo has a decent defense, I worry for you a little bit, but I still think in the end, 10 points is 10 points. That's not a ton when you're getting SEC versus MAC.
Stoops last year, as bad as they were still 3-1 in non-con.
Yeah. No, they were good early in the season, too. They beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Like, right out of the gate.
A statement loss against Georgia. Along the same lines, Mississippi State is an improved football team, and I know that half of Marshall's roster is down at Southern Miss. This just comes down to, if Jeff Lebby can run it up, I think he's going to run it up. I'm going to lay the 13 with Mississippi State. Like, to me, like, these are the same games. I'm buying low on teams that I think are in the pecking order of the SEC bad teams. These are still going to be significantly better funded rosters.
Yes. 13.5 is a little surprising in that game. That you're going to get under two touchdowns.
My thing is,
they're getting the Marshall bump there.
Yeah. Drew, we're going to your game down in Tallahassee.
Oh, no.
I really wanted to lay the 14, but this just comes down to, I think it's going to pour down rain. I think it's going to be a sloppy mess. Give me under 50.
Yeah, I'm getting 14.5 now, the Tide. So, line's moving towards Alabama. Look, Alabama has an improved offensive line, and if they can run the ball, which they could not do last year, they should be able to handle this game. Missing their starting running back, missing their best defensive tackle. We don't know what Ty Simpson is.
Brand new quarterback.
Brand new quarterback. There is some offensive continuity, so I think there's some chance for Alabama to score. Not if the weather sucks. So I like the under here.
So I just kind of see it the same way. Drew, I don't understand the Clemson hype. Please help me out, because I want to actually lay some numbers out for people from last year. Clemson played six teams with a winning record last year. They beat two of them, and they beat them by a combined 7 points. Clemson is somehow getting all this credit for playing a good second half against Texas when they were down 21 points. I understand
this is the Brian Kelly.
It's a Brian Kelly week one, and I understand all the haters are out there going, oh, wait, Jeffrey's about to bet on LSU again in week one and lose. This year it's different, y'all. I don't have to lay any points. I'm getting four. Give me four with LSU.
I got a 4.5 for you.
I'll take that 4.5 then.
Go ahead, take that 4.5. I think Klubnik has gotten significantly better, and that's probably driving this Clemson hype train right now. Clemson also has all kinds of weapons at receiver, but I tend to agree with you. It's just what we talked about with Chris Harrington, right? To what degree does the context of last season matter for this season? If you believe that context matters and you want to take the big picture, I can get to your reasoning and I can get to LSU plus 4.5. Brian Kelly in week one makes me nervous. The only thing I think is going for you here is that they know that. It's become such a story at this point that LSU folks are incredibly nervous for this game because
and it's on the road.
They will not get caught sleeping on this one.
I'm just thankful that this game's on campus, and I cannot wait to watch this. All right, we're going to finish the card tomorrow, or Sunday in Atlanta. Drew, do you know what Whit Babcock, the athletic director of Virginia Tech, spent his summer doing? Showing PowerPoints to his boosters that indeed it takes money to win. Brent Pry, 0-5 against the spread against non-power conference opponents. He is also 3-9 against the spread against any non-conference opponent. This just reminds me of the Shane Beamer special. It's a marginal game that he's going to like pump up and make everybody believe is a big deal. I'm going to lay the 7.5.
Does it worry you at all?
I'm going to be fading South Carolina later in the year, but that comes later.
Does it worry you at all that maybe everybody was 1 year late on Virginia Tech? Virginia Tech was a very popular pick to win the ACC last year. Didn't turn out that way.
You heard the money part, right?
You don't think they invested in their roster?
No. There's a lot of fade the ACC here.
Do you have any thoughts on this Notre Dame-Miami game? Because I have totally convinced myself that Miami losing every single receiver, bringing in a transfer quarterback in Carson Beck, is not going to be what everybody thinks that they're going to be this year. If I were to pick one game, I'm picking Notre Dame.
So
the 2.5.
The reason why it's not on the card is I was leaning Miami, and when you started laying it out, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start showing discipline. I don't have to bet it. I'll just leave it off.
Why did you like Miami?
Because I think Carson Beck's way better than people. I think the Carson Beck's a better football player than the narrative is.
Do we have a line on the Memphis game this weekend?
I have not seen an FCS line. Usually FCS lines come out day of.
What do we expect that number? What's the ballpark you're thinking?
I would think in the 30s.
Chattanooga historically has
it's
been
not a bad program, but I would think it's in the 30s.
What are your expectations? Like, what are your hopes for this first game for the Tigers? I'll ask you the same question I asked Jason earlier. What do they have to do, or is there anything that they can do
I don't think there's anything they can do this week.
Optimism. No, there's nothing that they could do this week. They could win by 55 points, and you wouldn't be any more.
Right. I wouldn't feel any one way or the other, like, because, like, in the end, like, that's what they're paying for. I think what I'm most curious about is, are they going to give us any tells? I suspect that this is going to be a very run-heavy football team, and I'm curious to know if we're going to get any tells, but that could just be dictated by opponent.
A couple that you left off that I'm interested in. Georgia State and Ole Miss. We got a lot of Ole Miss fans around here. I wonder if our guy Lane, whose son is on the team at Oxford High School, will be in town tonight. I wonder if we'll see Lane at the game tonight. My guess is no, because, it's the day before Ole Miss's season opener. Season opener is at night. But also, Ole Miss, I'm now seeing 34.5-point favorite, was at one point up over 35. I think that's coming down because people see, like, last year, Ole Miss just destroyed those teams that they played,
basically preseason games to start the season.
They might have showed a little bit too much, and then they got Kentucky. I wonder if Lane's going to try to keep it as vanilla as possible here early with SEC coming up.
When it was over 35, I strongly considered taking the points. I also considered taking the points with Georgia, but I'm just worried. Like, Kirby, when laying 38 or more, is 0-11 against the spread, but I'm worried that this is like we're coming out with Gunnar Stockton. Like they could win that game 38-0.
They could. Potentially.
And, like, I'm a little worried about that.
The last thing, and it's only right here to finish with Hawaii. That's how every college football night and a show where we talked mostly about college football today should finish. Hawaii's quarterback was extremely hurt by the end of that game. Teams that play in week zero that then have to turn around and play in week one traditionally don't do very well. I think I like Arizona State, or Arizona.
The only problem is the line moved like 7 points. That was a lot for me. But that was one of those ones that was just left off.
Well, that'll be a fun nightcap, 9:30 on TNT.